Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. Thank you for waking up with us. I guess it's a morning. Usually we're on in the morning. Maybe you're listening to the rebroadcast on the website, kymnradio.net, and it's evening, so I'll say good evening to you, too, because there's always a good time to be Art Zany. And I want to open up today's show by thinking about, if you're making something, how do you find the subject matter for what you do? And, you know, I think about, how do I start the show? And usually I try to come up with some opening words that speak from my heart and my experience. And it's usually recent experience that influences me. And I try to give listeners maybe a little bit of inspiration and a way to move into your imagination. And I think one great way is always asking questions. And I think that if you hear a question, it opens something up for you, and it allows you to say, well, reject an answer or accept an answer and move through something. And that's all it is. That's as simple as it is to access your imagination. And if you be true to your whole self, pay attention to what inspires you, and keep curious. And of course, ask a lot of questions. I think those are very powerful things. And that's what I try to do. And I hope that there's a little bit of that for you as we wind down the summer. Can you believe it is the end of summer and we're moving into fall season? And it's interesting. There is a little different pulse out there. There's a little something in the air. And I enjoy this season, so I'm excited, but a little, as most of us, a little sad about the end of summer. But we have a giant show today, and I can't wait to get it to you. We're talking about two big events happening right around the corner that, you know, often just sort of sneak up. But I know that the folks that are involved have been working on this for months. Probably doesn't sneak up on them. We're going to be visiting first about the Riverfront Fine Arts Festival. This is happening the same weekend as DJJD. As usual. We'll get into lots of details in just a moment. So that's the first half of the show. And second, we're going to be talking about the annual members exhibition at the Northfield Arts Guild. And if you don't know about this show, this is really, I think, one of the great treasures. It's an opportunity for anyone who's a member to display their work in the gallery. And it's exquisite and very, very inspiring. So that's something really fun too. So first, we are talking about the Riverfront Fine Arts Festival. That happens both days of Defeated Jesse James Days. And I know I wrote those down. They are September 8th and 9th, so it's a Saturday and Sunday. I haven't even turned the corner. It's hard for me to think of September, right? And joining me in the studio, I'm just going to turn on the mics so that they can start talking. Joining me in the studio is Curtis Ingvoldstad.
Hi, Paula. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and it's such an honor to have you here. Several people that come to the studio, and maybe if it's their first visit to the studio, are often a little surprised by our friend Jesse, who is. And now that you're the artist that's here, I want to ask you: is there an official name for? We've just been calling it Jesse. Is there like a longer title that you created him?
No,
it's Jesse.
Okay, no, it's just Jesse. It was just a portrait of Jesse James.
Yeah, and yeah, that was done maybe 10, 11 years ago now.
Yeah, I think close to 9. My son was probably born that year, so that's the only reason I think that it was 9. And Yeah, it was done for Art Swirl.
Right, which is one of the early events that took place in Bridge Square, sponsored by the NDDC, Northfield Downtown Development Corporation. Ross Currier was a big proponent of that, getting people together to just, you know, celebrate the arts in Northfield.
Yeah, why not?
Exactly. And you are, now I'm going to get this wrong because I wanted to call you one thing, but I read your bio and it said a different thing. So you are a carver and a sculptor known for your chainsaw artwork.
All of the above. Yes. Okay. You know, what I see it as is I'm just doing wood carving. I'm using modern tools, and a lot of times what people are confused with is they think that I'm the guy on the side of the road to their cabin.
Uh-huh.
Yet I am not the guy on the side of the road to their cabin, and a little bit more sophisticated than that. Not saying that the guy on the side of the road isn't sophisticated. A lot of those covers are too, and I know them too, but I don't make my living just smacking out the bear, as they say, every day, right? I don't do that. I don't make the square bear every day. That's not what I do. I do commissioned work. People come to me, ask me to do something, and I dive into it. And I have an art degree, so I'm not trying to be better than anybody, but I just do a different kind of work with the same tools, mm-hmm. which I love.
It's
the
just a different variety the art that you know that you comes from your experiences and your style, your personality.
Right, and there's a lot of confusion as to what I do. And throughout time, that's always been the thing. Is this explanation is going on way too long, and has gone on way too long, and always I get in this discussion, it goes on way too long. But I think that as time goes on, people will start to understand that there's a real groundswell for this form of art. And not only can it go in the galleries, and it's in the galleries now, but it also is a performed art that's amazing in itself. And I know so many carvers. Like if I brought 10 carvers here into Northfield, in just like 4 days' time, we just blow your heads wide open.
I think that would be an incredible thing. I can't imagine. I'm like getting excited, just like the sounds, the smells, the possibilities. Mm. So plant that seed.
Yeah. Did I just do that?
I think you just did. I think you did. Let's bring Heather in. Welcome to Artzany Radio again.
Good morning.
And Heather, I'm going to have you pronounce your name because I'm embarrassed. I've known you for a long time, and I think I still goof up your last name.
Oh, I'm Heather Lorenz with the Northfield Arts Guild.
Heather Lorenz, yes. And I sometimes add the W in there, so I think that's, I apologize for that. That's one of the things I do on Artzany, right? My life is a little zany, and sometimes I can't quite get those pronunciations. So, but you are the visual arts manager at the Northfield Arts Guild, and the Riverfront Fine Arts Festival is one of the big events of the year for the Arts Guild that you coordinate.
Yes, and before I took it over, this is my fourth year organizing it.
I'm very excited.
I was a participating artist in it as well. So I have both perspectives of the festival, both overseeing it and being in it and experiencing it as an artist.
And it is something that I think it's on the Riverwalk, so that's where everybody mostly knows. But it's such a beautiful setting, and it's the favorite part of DJJD Days.
I'm not biased at all either, but it's mine as well.
I think it just brings so many incredible artists. There's how many artists are appearing this year?
Yeah, nearly 70.
That's a huge showing.
Yes, we are full. It's great. Every inch that could have an artist tent has an artist in it.
And so,
yes.
And I think I read that there are a number of new artists to the festival. So
yes.
There might be some favorites that you visited year after year, but also some new.
Yes, I think I counted 14 new people. So you'll definitely experience an artist that you may not have countered before.
And even those artists that come back, they often have new ideas, new materials, new subject matters.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes it really, really great. I want to ask both of you kind of about the Arts Guild and how that has helped you on your journey. This is these are our Arts Guild events, and these are fundraisers for the Arts Guild. But both of you have the experience of being artists with the Arts Guild.
Well, my hat of...
Yeah, you have both hats,
I have
right?
Both hats, yes. As a person who plans events, we get a lot of input from the artists. So people are asking us, you know, it'd be great if you did XYZ. And then we make those things happen. So that part is really fun to be getting the input of, let's do a chainsaw carving weekend with 10 artists. That sounds awesome. The wheels are already going.
Curtis, what have you done?
So there's that. And then as a working artist too, I also make jewelry and sell it in boutiques and art fairs and galleries. Knowing what I need as a working artist, factoring that into it, so our gift shop features over 100 artists that are also making their living through their artwork, through their creativity.
And that, what a great position to be in, to be able to support that.
Yes.
And the Riverfront Fine Arts Festival is one of the incredible opportunities, and I think it just continues to build and get better and better. And nothing, it's different. Again, this year there's some new things that are being added. And so should we start off talking about what Curtis is going to be doing?
Yes, I'm very excited about this piece.
Curtis, do you want to? Oh, he was looking out the window there.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking. I was listening. But yeah, this year I'm going to be doing some demos during the art fair, and I'm pretty excited about that. I haven't done a demo probably since Art Swirl. I don't remember, but I think in Northfield, and things have changed quite a bit since then for me. So I'm excited to just kind of bring a new skill set, you know,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more experience and have some fun. You know, I'll just toot my own horn because no one here knows anything about what I do. So I'm good at this, but I think being an artist, you have to promote yourself.
Absolutely.
And
this is a great venue for that. You should.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. And I've told people I have an ego, but it's trying to be constructive, not crushing. Right. So it's just part of the gig. But the truth is that I do competitive carving. I've been doing that on an international level for years, since 2005. And I've developed a very fast, even among my contemporaries, I'm very fast at carving a log. And it's just something that I do. It's like a savant skill or something. I don't know. It just comes to me. But I love it. And so it's fun for me to come and take that into public and say, hey, watch this, right? Here's art. It's going to happen like now, and you ready? You know, it's fun.
So when you say that's like a savant skill, I would imagine that there's a lot of years of preparation that go into that. Now, when you're doing these competitions, are you aware ahead of time what is the wood that you're going to be using, the dimensions, or is it something that they just unveil the secret ingredient and it's it's oak, it's pine, it's
here's how it always goes is. They tell you the logs are going to be between 24 and 36 inches in diameter and 8 feet tall. But when you arrive, it's these logs come off a truck, and then you realize, yeah, they're coming off of a tree, and then they could be they're various sizes and lengths, and then there's big knots in some of them, and some are just clean and beautiful. And so there's a huge variety of what you're going to get. And so I always have a plan going in of some sort, but it has to be real malleable. And a lot of times, because I do a lot of commission work on site, and so I never pick my, I don't pick my log all the time for commissions, and so I have to read logs and trees all the time, and mm-hmm. there's a little rotten hole here, and there's a knot here. So one thing I'm skilled at is taking that log with a big ugly knot in it and taking that knot out as part of my design and getting rid of it so I don't have to deal with it. And so that part's exciting for me in the competition. It's, I think the thing that I really, the savant skill part of it is that I've discovered is I have a skill set I practiced for 20 years, but I also, my brain is so good at the spatial awareness of like seeing where things have to be that in the first, I don't know, I just did a competition up in Superior, and in the first day, I took the log so far apart and had everything kind of blocked in for a very, kind of very intricate carving of this. There's an eagle standing on a piece of, like a driftwood root, and then there's a heron standing on the other end of the root, if you can imagine, and there's a hole in the middle of the tree, and there's turtles on the root, and there's a fish underneath,
whoa,
and there's this whole kind of scene going on. But within the first day, I've blocked it out enough with that it will be easy for me to get to the end, you know, in the time period, and it's still stable. It's still like a structural thing too. And it just, the way my mind works, and I'm fortunate, you know, in that, that I discovered that. And it's probably like, you know, so it's that's part of the excitement for me is like, it's like a it's like a reverse puzzle or something, you know, it's like taking something apart, and it's so satisfying at in the end when it works.
And that's something we should tell people, that it is at noon and 2 p.m. Tell us where, Heather.
Yes, he'll be in booth number 56. You will be able to find booth numbers of different artists by the 2nd Street Bridge on the west side, so by 205 Water Street and the 2nd Street Bridge. Or just listen for it. You'll
right.
be able to hear. Mm-hmm. And I, as you were talking, Curtis, that education piece is another really important component of the festival. There are many artists that will love to talk about their technique, love to talk about their process, and some I will be demoing. I'm always making jewelry in the booth when I'm there too, and I know there are other artists who, not the ceramic artists so much because they can't make it in the booth, but artists that can, that have portable pieces, you will be able to experience that as well. So this education of learning how you pull this amazing design out of a log, you know, they get to see it in action. It's very exciting.
Right, and if folks want to know more, you have a website, Big Woods Sculpture.
No, it's just woodsculpture.net is my website.
Oh, that's the name of your business.
Yeah, the name of my business is Big Woods Sculpture. Just, I live down in, well, I live out in near Strand, so I kind of adopted the Big Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, it's in the, I'm kind of endeared to the area, so.
And people can then see some visual piece names of the pieces that you've done and mm-hmm. kind of get an idea. And I think that's a really extraordinary thing. And I think the thing I find most fascinating is that when you do those commissions, I loved the story I heard about, you know, you really talk to the person about the example that was given in the article was, it was, you know, you would like a fox. Okay, what, tell us about your connection to foxes. Why is it, what do you like, you know?
Yeah.
And he really tried to draw out of the person and give a representation of what really gets them excited.
Right. And that's, I think that's like what's been, it's amazing. Like, I think, here's how I think of art, and I had to change kind of how I looked at art after art school, because art school, they're like, well, you're going to become this thing, and people discover you, and whatever. But what I really found out is you have to find this audience of people who want your work, and part of doing that is going to them and understanding what they want out of you. And that's so every time somebody comes to me with a commission, if they don't have a clearly thought out understanding of why they want it, I start asking questions without being like, you know, getting too like, why do you want this? But I ask a lot of questions to get to that point, because I think it's important, for artists to realize like, we don't all need to be Picasso. I just think we need to be more Da Vinci or like Michelangelo, in that we need to do commission work for people. So many people, so many artists I talk to are so like, oh, I hate doing commissions, or I don't like that because I never know what the person wants. And there's like this tension there. But I think if you go into that tension a little bit and just kind of find the juice of it, you would grow as an artist, right? Because you're expanding like your understanding of what's important. And that, I think, has been the most valuable thing for me as a person, because like, I just, I really step out of my art too, and I realize it's not me, and I really step out of it and know that it's for somebody else. So 9 times out of like 10, I look at the commission when I'm done and go, why didn't I do that? Or what? It's, you know, but that's not what I share with somebody, because I want them to have this piece as their own piece of art. And my perfectionist guy has to just take a back seat to that and go, this is for them. Mm-hmm. If I was doing their plumbing, if I was making their house, eventually it's, this person lives with us, and they have to have, you know, and it's about that. And it's about the experience of the art. It's about, the identity or the inspiration that they get out of it. There's an inspiration that they get out of it, and I want them to have that, like, freely. I don't want to get in the middle of that, like, you know, like, oh, no, like, it's not my masterpiece today or whatever. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. The exchange is like human to human, right?
And I love what you said, because you mentioned questions, and that's something that I really love. And so I want to remind people, the Riverfront Fine Arts Festival is the weekend of September 8th and 9th from 10 to 5 both days, so that you can come and go. It's right along the riverfront behind Division Street, but both sides of the river.
Yes.
And Heather, there's some other new things that are happening, and I want to tell people that both days are open, and my favorite day to go is Sunday, because it's a little quieter during parade time, and that is one of the best times to come.
Yeah.
That's my little secret about the Riverfront Fine Arts Festival.
Sunday is a really great time to come along the river. You get to interact with the artists and talk to them more without the crush of all the people, which we love too. But I did want to highlight, we are going to have chances to win free art that you can actually spend with an artist in the festival. So on Sunday only, you must be present to win. We have drawings to win one of four $50 gift certificates. The drawings are at 12:30, 1:30, 2:30, and 3:30.
And where do they go to register for that? Because that sounds like a really incredible opportunity.
Yes. All weekend, Saturday and Sunday, you can enter your name into the drawing, and then come back on Sunday for each of the times and see if you're one of the lucky winners. And you get $50 to spend with a festival artist. So I'll go around with you. You can spend it with multiple artists. And yes, so we want to support our festival artists and make Sunday another destination. You know, if you think, oh, it's too busy, I'm not going to go down there, Sunday's a great day.
And so, but where do they sign up their name, put their names in the hat, so to speak?
Yes, in the info booth. So tent number one, right behind the Northfield Arts Guild. Okay. So it's the Artist Hospitality Tent. It's the Arts Guild info booth.
Tent number one.
You will see a big bowl.
And that's that's a fun opportunity. Nice addition to, you know, encourage people to come. You could do a lot with $50.
Yes, you could.
can I get in on that too?
Yeah. You just must be present to win. We're not putting any, 18 and older.
That's an exciting thing. And if people want more information, I have to say the website has information about the artists that are coming. There's
links to their websites,
images,
all
kinds of. So sometimes I go ahead of time and plan out, you know, the ones I really, last year I saw them and they made this piece and I want to, you know, buy that for a holiday gift or a birthday gift, and I want to go back. So I want to know which booth they're at. That's always a fun thing to do.
Yeah. And also new this year, too, the Creating Community Club artists will have a booth. They will be number two, so right next to the Arts Guild. And they are, so the Creating Community Club is a program for young adults on the autism spectrum, and it focuses on prioritizing social connections while they're making art. So some collaborative projects, individual projects, expanding their creativity and stretching their artistic techniques. They will be selling their artwork that they've made. And so you can support the program, support those artists. That's the first time that they've had a booth. So
that's another great addition.
That's going to be really great. Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, I want to mention that this is a volunteer-driven event, that there are a lot of people. I know this is one of the first places I learned that the artists come really early in the morning, and it's a lot of work to set up and take down an artist tent, and it's a lot of coordination that happens, and the technique has been perfected for the Riverfront Fine Arts Festival, but there's opportunities if people are saying, you know, I might want to come down and help out.
Yes, we have 2-hour time slots where people can do artist hospitality, where they can go meet the artists, give them some water, do booth sit while they, if they're a solo artist and they need to run to the bathroom. You could really help out an artist by just hanging out in their booth and talking to people while they go run and come on back. And so just those important things. And the inspiration station, if you want to facilitate some free art making, we have opportunities to help with that all weekend.
Especially Sunday, I think you mentioned.
Yes.
that was a big, and I've done that before too, and that's, I just usually get to play with some markers and crayons and have some fun myself and
yes.
talk to people and let them know about the Arts Guild, and it's just a really, it's a great feeling, so I just applaud you on all the enhancements and great things that are happening.
It takes a village. We couldn't do it without all the help of everybody, so, and thank you to all those folks that are helping me at 6 a.m. on Saturday.
That's right. It's a lot of things that happen.
And it's so magical. The tents go up. It's almost like I would love to do a time lapse sometime.
Oh, we should have somebody with one of those
with
drones.
The drone. Yes, yeah. Put a shout out there. At 6 a.m. to see like the empty, and then as it goes up in like 3 hours, it's magic, this tent city that happens, and all this art and creativity in one spot, and yeah. It's great.
And we should mention the festival is rain or shine.
Yes.
So any kind of weather, hot, cold, windy, and all of it happens.
Yes.
And it's still, it should be part of your weekend at the Defeat of Jesse James Days, which is a big event in Northfield. But this is one of those little gems. So thank you both for joining me today. I've learned a lot. I've had a lot of fun. We didn't get to the question about the marshmallows, so we'll have to put that on the list for the next time.
S'mores. That's the answer. That's always the answer.
Yum.
Yes.
Yum. That is fantastic. I look forward to the Riverfront Fine Arts Festival. You can go to the northfieldartsguild.org website to get more details and more information. And that's not the whole show, though. We are going to be having the second half of Art Zany Radio, and I'm going to go ahead and put on a song so that we can switch out the studio here. And I picked this song because... I don't know about you, but I have had a lot of frogs in my yard, and it's been kind of amazing to watch. And it's not just, maybe they're toads. I don't know. But some of them are climbing our windows and hopping on the front steps, enjoying when the porch light is on. And it's just been the summer of frogs. And so I was trying to tell my kids about this song about Jeremiah, who was a bullfrog. And so that's what I picked for you today. It's kind of a fun song. We'll be back in just a minute on Art Zany Radio. All right, folks, that was not coming through, and I'm not sure why that's not working. I've got it all hooked up, plugged in. Oh, I love this playing music thing. Let's go ahead and try that one more time and see if we can't get the board to talk to the piece. Let's try again. You know, well... I don't know, maybe you can hear a little bit of that. Well, folks, I am so sorry about that because I really wanted to celebrate with the beautiful Joy to the World from Three Dog Night, but that isn't working, and I'm not sure why. So we're going to go ahead and... Oh, gosh, now I can't figure out how to turn it off. There we go. I don't know. Sometimes that always happens. I tell you, folks, sometimes it seems like it should be just really straightforward to be able to pop on a little song and... it doesn't work the way that it did the last time, and I don't know what's going on, but it is a good time to celebrate summer frogs, all the things happening in the world, and thank you, my guests have snuck in before I was able to go out and greet them. I usually like to do that, but I wasn't able to today because of a little mix up there, but we are talking now about the Northfield Arts Guild member exhibition. This is an annual show at the Arts Guild. It is opening September 1st and it runs through the 22nd. And it is, I think, a really incredible opportunity to see, this artist community, which is just every time I go, it just blows my mind how much beautiful talent and how many voices are here in the arts community. So I'm going to turn on the mics and welcome my guests today. This is the second half of Art Zany Radio, and I want to welcome, now I'm going to work on pronunciation. Bob and I were talking about this outside. Bob Nyvall. And how did I do there?
That's correct.
That's right.
That's very good.
Good. Yes. and you are a visual artist. And also joining us, Karen Oyseth. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And for both of you, this is your first visit to Art Zany Radio. And we got a little bit of the zany going on this morning. So I'm really delighted to have both of you here. Karen, I've known your work and seen it in galleries and on out at Martha's. You had pieces for a long time. Martha's Eats and Treats out in Dundas. And you've been a teacher in Burnsville. And so this is the first opportunity we've had to connect, so I'm just thrilled.
Well, I am too. Thank you.
You can tell folks a little bit about your work and your story with creating visual art.
Okay, I will. I'm going to go back to when I was growing up. I was in music.
Oh.
And played the piano, choir, and played the bassoon. I came to St. Olaf, played the bassoon in the band. But the summer after my freshman year, I took an art class at Luther College. I grew up in Decorah. And I was so loving it that I borrowed my dad's car, drove back to Northfield, up to Northfield, and met and changed my whole schedule. And I signed on for 3 art classes, one being art history. I felt like I had come home.
Oh, wow.
And so I did not take art when I was in high school, and I ended up a public school teacher. I taught high school art, and I loved telling the kids that I worked with that if you love art and you're at home in art, you will be very happy making art, doing whatever art-related activity you would like. So that's kind of how I got started. I went to St. Olaf, studied art there, also got education, student taught at Burnsville High School, and was hired for the next year. So my life, I had a lifelong career teaching in Burnsville. Because I took maternity leaves with my 3 babies, 2 years for each of them, I had to accept whatever was open or bump out the low person on the totem pole. But there was a job held for me for 2 years. And so I always could go back after 2 years. Consequently, I taught K through 12, but almost 20 years at the high school.
Oh, what a beautiful experience. And I didn't know that's how you got your start. So that's another story that's very inspiring. It clicked. Something happened. And, you know, you have these, you're primarily a painter.
I like drawing and painting. That is really my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how would you describe your style, your subject matter?
Over the years, it has changed. When I retired, I did get a studio downtown that I painted in, and I still have a studio that I paint in. But at that point in time, I decided to challenge myself with subject matter I had not explored. And mostly I had been painting organic subject matter, so I pushed myself to do architectural drawings. And pretty much focused on pathways, halls, stairways so that I was working with straight lines, perspective, and anyway, did that for a number of years. Then I did water based on photographs from the river. But recently, for maybe 6 years, I've been painting corn.
Oh.
Variations on a theme.
What a surprise that was.
Well, I grew up in Iowa, and I had decided I think it's time to paint something related to my childhood, my upbringing, Decorah, Iowa. And we always lived on the edge of town, and the neighborhood kids and myself would play in the cornfields. So because I drove down to visit my elderly parents, I took many, many photographs of corn, and it was a perfect match for me. I'm still painting corn, and I have a corn triptych in the members' show.
So folks can go and see that in the gallery. That is really, sometimes I think the simple things of life that are right in front of you are some of the most beautiful, and if you don't take the time to see them, that you can pass right by.
Yes.
It lets you pause. And so I can't wait to see that piece.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. And Bob, you are fairly new to Northfield.
We have lived here for about 3 years now. Moved here from Grand Rapids, Minnesota, where I was actually a faculty member of the University of Minnesota Experiment Station in Grand Rapids.
But you were not in the art department, were you?
I was not in the art department. I'm a plant pathologist. I have my PhD is in plant pathology, which is diseases of plants.
Yeah.
But you look at a plant, and it's got form and shape and color, and so it's... A plant can be rather an artistic thing.
Oh, and I would imagine, I think it's really interesting that you're drawing corn. And
yes.
Karen's cheering over here.
I was thinking the same thing. I have painted a couple of pictures of corn also.
I think that's such an important thing, is to see your world. And when you actually have to paint something, you have to draw it, you have to really study. You have to, like, see things that once you start looking, you're like, oh, there's a wave there, or there's a corner, or there's a shape or a color that a variation that you hadn't seen.
Well, we were talking beforehand, how do you describe art? There's as many descriptions as there are artists, but I think it's a combination of different things. One is, I guess, your inner self, to put a fine point on it. But art also helps you to look at things more critically. Mm-hmm. What form, what color, the shadow, the lines, the wavy lines. You look at these things, and I think that's a big plus of being a painter. I don't call myself an artist. I'm not an artist, as this lady is, but...
Well, and that brings us to the members show. You are a member of the Northfield Arts Guild, and that is anyone who's a member is invited to participate and to present their work to the community. And tell us about the work, then, that you have brought for the members show.
Well, I love old barns.
That comes through. I would have guessed that.
I was born and raised on a farm in northern Minnesota. And, these barns, which are now starting to fall down, and there are thousands of them across the country, were once the economic center of that farm. I mean, that's where the farmer and his family brought in the hay. This is... where the sparrows were chirping and the pigeons in the loft and the cows were mooing, and there's always a special smell to a barn, and it's a combination of smells, hay, manure, milk perhaps,
the soil, the earth, the sunshine,
all those things. But these barns are disappearing, and they have so much character to them. The color of the old barn boards is...
The patina.
Right. I mean, they're just so gorgeous. And there's is a combination, I think, of form and nostalgia when you paint these things.
Well, and you have there the picture that you've painted is on the Northfield Arts Guild website page. I think they've done a really beautiful job this year because the annual members exhibition is going up on September 1st, but many, many, if not all of the artists have images on the website, so you can kind of click through. And I was honestly really in awe of the work that's coming for this particular show, because it's all styles, all formats, and it's just to imagine that that's the membership that supports the Arts Guild. It's a really rich, wonderful community, and it's a great way to see it. And that opens up September 1st. We want to mention that on Friday, September 14th, from 7 to 9, there's going to be an opening or a reception for all the artists, and many of the artists that are exhibited will be there, so you can what I always like is to visit with somebody who's in front of their painting and to or in front of their bowl or their sculpture and ask questions and learn a little bit more about what they did. And it's a delightful evening, and again that's September 14th from 7 to 9, but the exhibit is up from September 1st to the 22nd, and you can come see it in the gallery at the Northfield Arts Guild. The gallery hours are Tuesday through Friday from 12 to 6, and then Saturdays from 11 to 3. So, and there may be a few other times they're open, but those are the ones that they'll definitely be open. What does it mean for each of you to have a piece in the members' exhibition? Karen, you want to start?
Yes, I would be happy to do that.
And I bet you participated over many years.
I moved here in 1998, so for 20 years, I have been a member of the Arts Guild, and it has provided me with a community / tribe to connect with that has similar interests that I do. It's been inspiring. It's been provoking in terms of being challenged. Conversations have been rich. But also, I served on the gallery committee and was able then to get to know some of the workings behind setting up a show like the membership show. And we were broken down. The large committee was gallery committee, but then there were subcommittees, and I happened to be on the opening reception committee. So Pam Torrey and I were both still teaching. We would meet at the co-op at 6 o'clock. In 5 minutes, we'd have our menu planned. She'd take one cart. I'd take the next cart. And we would gather our goods, buy them, stop at the liquor store, get some wine. And we would head to the guild, get it all set up, fresh flowers and all. And within 1 hour, we would have the reception ready to go. And we have talked and laughed about how we did that.
But I don't know how you did that.
We don't either.
But that's always a fun part of coming together for the social time with other artists. And it's lovely. And it is important to know all the different levels of support that go into any event that happens. And it's so you've been participating in the show for 20 years?
I think I have,
oh
pretty
my
much
gosh.
Every year.
That's phenomenal.
Had a piece of art there. And, you know, there used to be an auction. And I remember a couple of years bringing in artwork, and no one bid on it. However, I did sell several pieces over the years. But, you know, as an artist, you take a risk putting your artwork out there. And that's part of the challenge of bearing your soul.
Right, but you want to be in a community that's supportive, and I, that's what my experience has been with the Arts Guild, too. They're a very supportive, incredible organization.
Absolutely.
And, Bob, is this your first year, or have you been here 3 years? So?
Well, it'll be the second
year.
Okay. And I'll echo many of the same thoughts. I wanted to be in an organization or a group of people of like mind. I don't expect to make much money selling my art, but for me, it's a thing that is very refreshing. When I paint, I put on a little classical music in the background, And before I know it, 2-3 hours have gone by. And I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe I should try and do something a little different other than straight or fallen down barns. And so I've tried to do the human figure, and it's tough. it's tough. I've always admired artists like Charles Russell, for example. I thought he had captured action better than almost any artist I've ever seen. And the Monets and the Manets, they just have this ability or had this ability to picture human form. And it's a human form that's not dead, it's alive. And I don't expect to reach that height, but I'm going to give it a try. Anyway.
So maybe next year there'll be a human form in your art piece?
Well, right now I'm painting two men in a canoe on a lake. And it is, the body itself is not hard to do. It's the eyes and the mouth. And I keep looking at all of these examples of how these really good artists did this. And so I'm trying to follow their example.
Could it be a mere suggestion of eyes and ears?
Ooh.
Exactly. And that's what Charles Russell did.
That's the teacher.
And,
that's good.
That's what Monet did. There's really not an eye there. It's kind of a dark blotch. But you get the idea that there is an eye there. But then it's the mouth, the set of the mouth, the line. That's very difficult to do also.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe the face could be a shadow.
Mm-hmm. Right, there's a hat, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, both of them are wearing hats, so we'll see.
Well, I think that's wonderful that you're experimenting and you found this new. Or have you always painted? Maybe I didn't ask you that question. I was assuming from the way you're telling the story that it's kind of a new passion.
Well, when I was middle school and high school, I liked to draw, and I was a fairly decent drawer, if I could use that term. And then 3 years in the Marine Corps, and then working for a PhD and so forth, that kind of took care of any artwork. But my first job was on the faculty at Iowa State University. And a friend of mine, a cohort in the department, sort of inspired me. He had painted a picture, and it really wasn't much. It was just kind of bits of color and form. But I thought, gee, that's kind of neat. I can do that. And so I tried it, and I thought, maybe I should have a center on subject matter. Old barns. There's a lot of them in Iowa.
That's right. There are.
Still are.
I think. And, I think maybe when Heather coordinated that you two would be the guests, that I think maybe there was a little. And she's trying to match you up.
Well,
so you could
be.
Learn from each other about plants and the farms and kind of reconnect on recreating that in arts of work. And I think that's. And that's an amazing thing, and that it sounds like you're both loving what you do, and bringing that to the painting.
Very much so.
Yes.
It is a love, if you use that term, however you define it, and it's a passion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, both Karen Oiseth and Bob Nival will be, did I do that right? Yeah, perfect.
That's
okay,
right.
Good.
Well, we'll
be a part of the Northfield Arts Guild member exhibition, which annual members exhibition, which is opening up again at the gallery. And don't miss this opportunity to, use it as a way to inspire yourself to think of, well, what might I create, or connect with somebody who does something you're interested in and ask them a question about how they do that or how they come up with their subject matter, because there's always a great story behind a good question. So thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure. Yes.
Yes.
Great.
And thank you, Paula.
Oh, you're welcome. I love doing this so I can tell the stories of our community, and the member show is a great one to be able to share. So thank you. Folks, I just want to tell you about a couple of things. Last week, my guests were here from the another Arts Guild event. So they are just, this is a busy season. And that is Castastrophe, which is a marvelous mix-up of melodies and monologues. I had Pauline Jennings, Kurt Johnson, and Birch Carlson here. And that show is also a part of the Defeat of Jesse James Days. That is at the Northfield Arts Guild Theater, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30. So there's only those three shows. You can get tickets at northfieldartsguild.org. It's just a fun, it's a way for people who like to perform to do something they would never be cast in and be able to have a little fun with something kind of unusual. And folks, this is Art Zany. I hope you continue to listen and that you always take the time to add some Art Zany to your life. And in the meantime, till next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. Welcome.